Well, this morning we're starting a new series that's based upon what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, which is a collection of teachings and sayings that Jesus used to paint a picture of what it looks like to be a true follower of Christ, to be a disciple, of attitudes and actions that are often counterintuitive to the way the world looks at things. And each week between now and Palm Sunday, we'll be looking at different nuggets of truth that Jesus taught in the sermon and how they have the power to guide us in living in a way that's congruent with how God designed us to live. The Sermon on the Mount is actually the largest collection of what Christ taught in all of Scripture. They were not all delivered at once. That would have been a really long sermon, but they were woven together as a unified whole. While parts of the Sermon on the Mount are contained within the Gospel of Luke and Mark, our reference for this series will come from Matthew 5 through 7, which contains this sermon in its entirety. Now today our focus will be on a portion of this sermon commonly known as the Beatitudes. It's found in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and today we'll be reading verses 1 through 12, and today I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, where we read the following. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who are hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you were my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask for you to speak to us and guide us through this, your word. We pray for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit to help us live out these words, that our lives might be a reflection of you. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, I want to mention something before I begin the sermon. About a year ago, our Christian Caring Committee made kind of a bold move, a bold decision, that they wanted to take one of our 12 mission of the month and dedicate it towards a ministry of this church. And we've been talking about it for the last year, and what we've decided is that we want to have maybe two or three people from our congregation that are serving in some way in our community and to come along beside them with resources. So an example might be, maybe you're a teacher in an inner city school and you really need some resources that you've just not been able to afford. We want to come beside you and give resources to your organization. And what we really want to do is we want to lift up so many people in our congregation who are actively serving in our community and say, this is a part of being at DeWitt Community Church. It's not just what we do together, but it's the impact that each of us have during the week in the life of our community. So if you're interested in knowing more, you can contact the church office. They have a description of the program and an application, and the applications are due in on Wednesday, the 25th of March. But I think this is a great move, and I'm really looking forward to it. Well, this past week, I opened up my Facebook page, and there was a good friend of mine, Jim, holding a newborn child. It was his first grandchild, and he was beaming from ear to ear. He reported that his grandson, Jimmy, I'm sure that went over well, was 8 pounds and 4 ounces, and that he was happy and healthy, and that daughter Kim was doing well, and that his son-in-law Ryan was, as he put it, adjusting. And then he wrote this, "We are so blessed." We hear that word a lot, don't we? We're blessed. We hear it in interviews with athletes after they catch the game-winning touchdown or hit a three-point shot at the buzzer to win the game. We hear it from movie stars as they pick up their awards and carry them off stage. "Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so blessed." And at dinner, we pause before we eat and we say, "The blessing." As we finish off a letter, we close with that final word saying, "Blessings." Or as Red Skelton was famous for, some of you may remember him. At the 9 o'clock, nobody knew, and I'm like, man, I feel old. But do you remember this? What did Red Skelton say at the close of every show?
"Good night."
Good night. Bruce. The wisdom of Bruce never ceases to amaze me. He said, "May God bless." Now I want to ask you a rhetorical question. What does that mean? I mean, what does that mean when we say we're blessed? What does it mean when we say bless you or may God bless you? Well, sometimes it's a way of wishing people well. Sometimes it's a way of saying, I hope God blesses you and fills your life with all good things. And quite often we associate blessing with abundance of having a lot of something. Maybe it's money or property or talent. Maybe it's being blessed with good looks or a healthy body or being blessed with a great spouse or wonderful kids or both. Maybe it's we've been pretty lucky and we've been given things that we could not have possibly earned on our own, that we're fortunate beyond what we deserve. And then there are times like this past week when the blessings we have received from Wall Street seem to have dissipated. Well, in his opening comment, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, starts out with this list of what it looks like to be blessed from his vantage point. And it wasn't a list of things that immediately come to mind when we hear the word blessed or blessing. It's kind of the opposite of what we associate with the word blessing. Being blessed, according to Jesus, is not so much about abundance and good fortune as it is about doing the right things and having the right attitude towards others, even when and especially when it's very difficult and hard. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying that we are blessed not by what wins us the most acclaim, but by rather living in a way that pleases God. Jesus, in fact, calls us blessed when our ways and our purposes are aligned with God's. Now, some translations of the New Testament use the word happy in place of the word blessed. Happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are the meek. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm sorry, that's not a great translation. Sorry, that's not the kind of happy place that many of us want to be a part of. There's a difference between momentary happiness that the world may give us and a true sense of being blessed, which is what Jesus was teaching about. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount seems to go way out of his way to turn our entire way of thinking about being blessed upside down. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, those who hunger, those who thirst for justice, those who have a pure heart, those who work for peace. I mean, does anybody wake up in the morning and ask God for blessings like that? I don't think so. And how in the world can you define being persecuted and mocked with being happy and being blessed? Well, you see, Jesus wanted his followers to think differently and understand that God's ways and the world's ways are very different. That being blessed is not about having everything go your way, but rather it's about working for things to go God's ways. Jesus started out by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now in Luke's gospel, it is recorded as blessed are the poor, without using the description poor in spirit. But here's the point. What happens when you have a lot of stuff? Whether it's money or the number of degrees you have or positions of honor. I mean, doesn't it get very easy to get pumped up and prideful and full of yourself? And when we do that, we push God out of the picture. I think it kind of aligns with what Jesus said about it being difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom. Because to enter the kingdom requires us to bow, to kneel, to acknowledge God's greatness and who we are in comparison. Being poor in spirit requires us to let go of our pride in the things of the world and to be dependent on God. Someone once said, "He who kneels before God can stand before anyone." Being poor in spirit and humbling yourself before God opens the door to being used by God in God's kingdom. Jesus could have put it this way, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for God can use them to do great things." In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." This beatitude is not about the things we normally mourn about. It's not about death of a friend or a loved one. It's really about mourning of a sadness of injustice, about injustice. In this context of the times, these words were given by Jesus. The Jewish nation was mourning over their exile and longing for things to be made right once again and to return to their land and for the temple to be restored. That was what was going on. They grieved the loss of what was. And Jesus was promising the mourners, God will comfort them and satisfy the longing of their hearts. But here's an important part of that. Not according to their timelines. According to God's. It was a reminder to trust that God is at work even when we can't see God at work. Their mourning was both a sadness for what had taken place, yet being blessed with the hope of what God has yet to do. It was the mourning of the current condition, yet at the same time finding comfort in their faith that God would act. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the humble, or the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And Jesus once said, "I am gentle and humble in heart." And the word gentle is the same word that is used in the Beatitude, the word meek or humble. It's not about being a pushover or a milquetoast personality. It's about an absence of conceit or anger or wrath. And again, in the context of what Jesus gave this sermon, his words were about inheriting the earth, where understanding is reclaiming the land of their ancestors. In his book on the Sermon on the Mount, Scott McKnight writes this, "If we put these first three Beatitudes together, we find Jesus blessing the oppressed and the poor for their powerful trust in God, for their willingness to wait upon God for justice, and for their devotion that runs so deep that they mourn over the condition of Israel and implicate themselves in the causes of that condition." In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice or righteousness, for they will be satisfied." This comes about when people are willing to check their own selfish ambitions in order to pursue what's right in the eyes of God. They hunger, they thirst for God to make things right. And they move beyond just wishing. They roll up their sleeves to make it happen. It's quite easy for us to see things that are unjust in our world. Kids who don't have enough to eat, or people who don't have enough medicine when they're sick. To have compassion for people who grow up in a cycle of poverty and have no idea of how to escape. It grieves the heart of God, and therefore it should really bother us. There are so many things in our world in which God must look down on and be saddened by, especially now. And Jesus is saying, in effect, Blessed are people who are willing to roll up their sleeves and get their hands dirty in order to change the world. We may think that being blessed or being happy comes from having everything go our way. But Jesus says we're blessed and contented when we thirst to make the world better for others. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." The merciful are those who are happily give to others because they're keenly aware of God's mercy and love in their own lives. They're eager to empathize and to show compassion for others. And the more we understand God's love and mercy in our own lives, the more we desire to carry that out in our relationship with others. It is a Sermon on his Mount, on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will be called the children of God." The pure heart is an undivided heart, a heart that's focused not on our desires, but on the desires of God, where our first priority is not how will this look on my resume or what will other people think, but when our motives are pure and simple, the desire is to live in a way that pleases God. We play to an audience of one. Everyone else can take a number. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God." Again, from Scott McKnight, he puts it this way: peacemaking is neither being nice, as defined today, nor is it tolerance, again, as defined today. Rather, it is an active entrance into the middle of warring parties for the purpose of reconciliation. Not by pretending there are no differences or suppressing differences, but by creating a love of others that transcends differences or that permits people to join hands in spite of differences. Peacemaking is not easy work. And it requires us to get our hands dirty. It gets messy. It requires us to let go of what's safe and politically correct and challenge assumptions. It's not for the faint of heart. But again, God has a way of blessing us as we do the hard work of reconciliation. And finally, in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, in this portion that we call the Beatitudes, Jesus says this: God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for great reward awaits you in heaven. You would think that if you were able to live out these Beatitudes, that the world would cheer you on and consider you a hero. But actually, the exact opposite is true. St. Paul writes this in the 6th chapter of Ephesians: "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm." The reality is we are in a spiritual battle 24/7 between doing the things of God and doing the things that are contrary to how God really designed us to live. And when you stand against conventional wisdom of this world, it will cost you. And Jesus says, be happy about that. When people mock you and persecute you and say all sorts of bad things about you because you follow my ways, rejoice, for great is your reward. As my father used to say, when people who you have no respect for criticize you and talk about you behind your back, it's a really good sign. As we find ourselves in the season of Lent, a time of reflection, a time of truly trying to follow the teachings of Christ, The Beatitudes are a great refresher about what it means to be truly blessed, not by how the world measures it, but by how God measures it. I want to close with this one thought. It comes from the great preacher, Charles Spurgeon. Lord, keep me low. Empty me more and more. Lay me in the dust. Let me be dead and buried as to all that is of self. Then shall Jesus live in me and reign in me and be truly my all in all. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray for your blessing to be upon us, not the blessings of human rewards and fame, but the blessings that come from your commands, of being poor in spirit, of mourning injustice and serving humbly, of conveying mercy and living with pure hearts, of seeking to be peacemakers even as we are persecuted. Help us not to chase after the blessings of this world, but to be blessed by doing your will in our lives and in this world. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.